And with me right now, in real time, is formerly Joanne Richards. Joanne, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic, and I hope I did not scare you by using that name.
No, it's fine. I still...
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Use it in business, so it's fine.
Yes, most people will recognize you as Joanne Richards, so I think
will.
It's probably appropriate right now, and then we can get into everything that's gone on the last several years. And
yeah,
Joanne, you haven't been here. Yes, you haven't been here in quite a few years, since 2020, I believe, was the last time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, back when things were really weird, and things haven't stopped being weird ever since.
Had I moved yet when we talked?
I don't think you have yet at that time.
Okay. If it was before July of that year, I had not moved.
Yeah, this must have been somewhere in October, I believe.
Oh, well, then
I probably did move. Okay.
I moved out of California in July of 2020.
Understood. Yeah. And Joanne, for those who don't know, you were married to Mark Richards.
I was.
That's right. And, you know, we went over this, we had talked about it, we had known that your roommate at the time had a husband in prison, and that's kind of how these things sort of snowballed.
Yeah, when he and I met, I had a roommate whose husband was in prison, right?
Absolutely. I recall.
I know.
I remember. And your friend said that she knew of a genuinely nice ex-military guy by the name of Mark Richards doing time at the same facility.
Correct.
And you two were introduced, and you guys had quite the rapport, and then one thing led to another. You're doing all these conferences, you're talking to a lot of people. And what exactly happened, Joanne, if you don't mind me asking this question? I'm sure a lot of people out there listening right now are probably curious and thinking, okay, well, what happened? How did this thing end?
How did it end?
Yes, ma'am.
Huh. Well, it's interesting because it had nothing to do with, a little bit to do with the prison, but nothing to do with, you know, when I was speaking on the UFO circuit, and because I'm totally still into that, and I totally believe he did all that. And just, you know, before COVID hit, I just started looking at my life and how things were going and how I wanted to retire in the near future, because back then I was like nearing my mid-60s, or I was in my mid-60s, and I figured, I don't want to work till I'm 90. And so I started bringing up stuff about, you know, it's like, how can we like restructure things? Cause I was paying for his house in California, you know, all the expenses of living there. And I said, you know, we need to think ahead and whatever. And, you know, let's come up with a plan, and also being very positive. And I also started bringing up things like, you know, married people will do. It's like, you know, there's things I'd like to see happen differently in our relationship. And long story short, that was never going to happen. And the restructuring of the funding of the house has still not happened. And I moved out of California because of COVID, because there was no visiting at the prison for a whole year. Actually, we did start seeing each other eventually, but the whole prison system was locked down, and you know, no visiting at all for a year. They eventually started video visits, and then very limited, restricted in-person visits, and eventually they brought back the family visits where you could have some time alone in an apartment. So things improved a little bit, but you know, it's like I had to isolate. I was isolated just like everybody else. And I was living in this big old creaky house. And my daughter said, well, why don't you come up here and quarantine with us? And so I know that sounds like a great idea. And so I moved to Oregon to be near family during COVID. And it's just kind of, it's like, well, I'm staying here. This is great. And the house was becoming a big burden for me. And then our relationship just kind of disintegrated. So sad to say, but
that's life.
It is life.
And yeah. Ultimately, that's the way the cookie crumbles at times. And Joanne, do you regret that decision you made?
Do I regret terminating the marriage?
No, no, not the marriage, but just that being involved with...
Yes and no, because I look at him as, just like all my other ex-husbands, I look at him as a teacher. So I learned lessons, and I learned a lot about myself, and I learned about things that I was newly interested in that I would have never found out had I not met him, not left the Mormon church, you know. So it's like he put me on a trajectory, knowing him put me on a trajectory to better things for myself. And then having the time to look at what I wanted personally and relationship wise,
right,
made me look at what I wanted and what was best for me. So do I have some regrets about the way things happened or not? And it took me a long time to realize that, you know, was not the best path for me, but it is what it is. And it's, I shouldn't say it served its time. It lasted as long as it needed to last, and then it was done. And he may not see it that way, and we don't even talk anymore, but, you know, that's how I want to look at it. I don't want to look at it with anger and you know, rage and all that, because that's just not good for me. But
no, not at all. I mean, that is probably the worst thing, really, for anyone to want to go back in the past and relive all that again, and then just stay angry and stay in this weird place in life. And a lot of people do that. People love to live in misery.
Yeah, I don't. That's not for me.
That's not who you are. Yeah.
You know, I've had to kind of relive it because I'm writing a book about it.
Oh, yeah. Are you?
But, oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And it's like, do I write the book or do I do a comedy routine? But I could do both. But I'm on book number two. I wrote one book I published it during COVID in 2021 about all the marriages and then how I got onto my path of, you know, having UFO sightings, paranormal experiences, and learning about aliens and witches and fairies and all that cool stuff that is definitely a part of my life these days. So that was like how I changed my life in my 40s and went on this cool path of woo. You know, I don't take that lightly. I just, people relate to woo better than anything else.
Yeah, they identify with the woo. So I totally get it. Now you're no longer Joanne Richards. Now you are Joanne Fawcett.
That's my maiden name. So I'm proudly taking it back.
Yeah.
Or going by that. And yeah, it's funny because when he and I got married, I never officially told the Social Security office that I got married, I guess. And so I was always having to continually doing my taxes under Joanne Fawcett. So it's kind of convenient. You know, when we got divorced, I just, you know, told the divorce paper, you know, put it in the divorce papers that I'm going to go back to that. But I still use it for business because my clients know me as that. And, you know, the tax ID number for the business is under that. So it's all right. And I'm going to retire later this year. So
nice.
A lot of that's going away. Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. You can enjoy retirement finally. And during your last conversation with Mark, was he angry at you? Did he think you were betraying him by ultimately doing this? What was going on in his mind? I'm very curious to know.
He's not happy, and we had a lot of angry moments.
Oh my.
And bless his heart, you know, he's an honorable military officer, and he's got some great stories, and in my book I don't use his name, but you know, obviously people are going to put the dots together between the title of the book. And once I talk about, you know, I've been married 7 times and this last one, you know, husband number 7, who the book is about, you know, is in prison. So people will figure it out. This is hard to say on air because you know him. He's a narcissist, and he's fully admits he's very selfish, and that makes him a good military officer, I guess. But he always wants things his way. So as long as for 20 some odd years, as long as I was just going along with the flow, doing my work, not making him mad, kind of going along with his ideas and stuff. And a lot of his ideas were good. You know, I wouldn't have gotten onto the UFO speaking circuit had I not had this cool material to share in. But if he's not getting his own way, he's not a very nice person.
That kind of sounds like everybody, though, to be honest.
Yeah, well, he gets really mean, and he got really mean in a lot of letters.
Oh, he got
and
really so nasty.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Because, yeah, I'm all of a sudden not a good wife. I'm not pretty enough because I wasn't thin.
Oh, no.
And yeah. And I started my business in his house and then turned my back on his needs. I go, well, yeah, but my business was paying the bills. So, it was a lot of meanness because I stopped making, well, I started thinking about myself. And I started thinking about what I needed and wanted. And so, yes, for a certain extent, I was putting my needs first, finally. And, you know, the narcissist always wants it to be his way and all about the him. And yes, you can be spoiled. And then the other extreme of that is you're a narcissist. And he's a classic narcissist. So, but I didn't see that side of him until I left California. I mean, I knew he was selfish, and I saw a couple of mean things, you know, in visiting, but it was usually we kept things at a pretty even keel, and you know.
Understood. And how long did that until you left? But Joanne, how long did that last, by the way?
The meanness?
No, not the meanness. Just the you two being
the marriage.
Yeah, the marriage.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
We courted for 5 years. We were married just a little over 20. So
oh, wow.
25 years. Yeah, a long time.
It's kind of a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was.
Wow. I knew it was a long time, but not exactly 20 years. So that is new to me.
Longest relationship I've ever had.
Wow. That is pretty wild that you guys were an item for that long.
Yeah, and I do believe he's innocent of the crime that put him in prison.
Understood.
I do believe that he was involved with space stuff. That part, I never doubt. I never will. You know, he can be very charming and very nice, and he's got great stories, and he's a fabulous historian, and he's got many good qualities. You just don't want to cross him.
Understood. Understood. And of course, we are talking about Mark Richards, who was involved with top level military intelligence operations.
Wow.
That's what he is absolutely claiming. And many, including on world and off world contact and battles with various alien species. And Joanne, you fully and firmly believe these stories, I would imagine.
I do.
Okay.
I do. And I still do.
Still do.
I haven't been asked to speak at any UFO conferences. You know, especially during COVID, because most of them were
gone,
not happening.
Right.
But I was allowed, or not allowed, I was asked to speak this last fall at a conference. Well, during COVID, I spoke at WisdomCon, because now I'm using all the lessons that I've learned to better myself. And it's like, oh, I have some insights that I can share with people. And that went over very well. And it's not just about markets. Like, I've learned lessons through all the crappy marriages I've had. But then this last fall, I was asked to speak at a conference in Northern California called Mystical Minds Convention. Mm. And it was, the speakers were, you know, shamans and psychics and paranormal people and UFO people and witchy people. So cool, it was a people. Lovely mix. Yeah. And it's like, these are my people. And I gave a talk, because my focus now, besides talking about toxic relationships, is, as far as my woo goes, it's like, I've really embodied that humans, especially if you're using magic and the fairy realm and even the alien realm, because they're very spiritual, or many of them are. And, you know, to be part of this galactic community, just like, we're all connected. And it's finally, it's like, oh yeah, we're just as connected to the aliens as we are to the fairies and to the other humans. And it's just amazing to me. And I love talking about that kind of stuff.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. And since you left that sort of scene momentarily, and you haven't been invited at all at any alien related conferences, Joanne?
Just the Mystical Minds, because that was a little bit alien related. And she'd been wanting to have me, like, for the first couple years that she did it. And I don't know if I, you know, for a while we were being harassed by an online journalist, so I stopped going and doing anything. And then I think I didn't go another time, just because of the drama that was happening in my life, and I needed to sort that out. So so that was the first one that I've really been to that I got to speak at.
Okay.
And
very
I've been
nice.
I've been doing a lot of podcasts, and the podcasts have been a variety of the UFO and paranormal, and now it's a lot about toxic relationships. But I have been doing a lot of podcasts. So yes, I've still been speaking, just not at live conferences.
Right, right. Understood, yeah. Understood. My goodness, I just can't imagine. A husband number seven, you said.
I know, yeah.
Joanne,
I'm
why
right
so,
up there with Liz Taylor.
Joanne, why so many husbands?
Well, that's a good question. And my standard answer is, I grew up in the 50s and the 60s with the whole Leave It to Beaver image of happy families and white picket fences, and you get married forever.
Yeah, this is what you wanted.
Babies.
Then. Yeah, so that's the future you wanted. And
that is the picture I wanted. That's not the picture I was dealt. And I was also, my family's not Mormon, but I was a Mormon for 30 years.
Oh my God, Joanne, I forget all about the Mormon past.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
Joanne.
You know, it's like that's also part of the picture. You find Mr. Right, you get married, you have lots of babies, and everybody lives happily ever after. But nobody said, well, you should be talking about these kind of things as you're leading up to marriage. And we never, you know, important things. So you're on the same page. What I realized now, way too late, is like, just because you go to the same church and you go and sit in a church service and you're doing your service, you know, when you come home, that other person is often, well, my other person was always a different person at home than they were at church. And we weren't on the same page financially or parenting wise. And, you know, it's just like, ooh, what did I do?
Marriage is tough.
And I had a daughter after marriage number two, and her dad died. So it's like, I kept thinking, well, she needs a dad. She needs a dad. So I kept trying to find a dad. And she goes, I didn't need a dad. I had my uncle, who was a great male role model. And it's like, oh, if you'd been old enough to really tell me that, I would have stopped. And, you know, we've gotten over that, but it's just, it's amazing. She and I were so much better off between the husbands. It's like, we did fine together. And, you know, fortunately too, for me, moving near her during COVID has given us the time to heal any past wounds and really become close again.
I'm glad
that's
to
really
hear
nice.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're
great.
Yeah. I'm glad you have a strong connection now. Well, I'm sure you
I
always
do.
Did, but I'm sure during that time, it pretty much increased tenfold.
Yeah, and it was interesting, because I think she and my sister were always trying to tell me that, you know, Mark was not the best choice.
Yeah.
And but just like some of my other husbands, I didn't listen to my mom either. So, you know, it's like, we were trying to shake you and get you to see that, you know, this wasn't a good, yeah. It's like, I wasn't listening. And because I thought I was fine. And, but during COVID and when I kept complaining about having to pay for another tree falling or another sewer problem or this or that, you've got to get out of that house. And that it's like, oh yeah, you're right. So I finally started listening, and I started listening to my guides, and you know, the intuition has become a lot stronger. So I try to listen more than I don't listen. And that's really helped me.
Absolutely. I can imagine. But I'm glad everything is in working order with your family, and I'm sure they're relieved that you're no longer with Mark.
Well, and it's interesting because we're trying, it's like, I'm still trying to untangle
some of the drama.
There's still this financial piece. His trust owes me some money, and I'm still trying to get it. And, you know, I'm still trying to give some moral support to the other trustee and help her negotiate a lot of things. And, you know, it's not easy. And narcissists don't like to let you untangle yourself from their life.
I've realized that.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So lots of strange people, of strange stalkers. I want to just put that out there.
Stalkers?
That don't let these things go. You know, they keep reemerging. They keep trying to harass me and all this nonsense.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing.
I
see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's like this new book has been very healing for me. And yes, I have to relive the crap as I write it and then rewrite it and look at it again and talk about it. But it's been very healing, and it's pulling or pushing me, whatever. It's like I'm being called also to try to help others and bring to light, you know, here's some signs of this kind of toxicity, and here's what I've done for myself. Even if you can't leave the relationship, here's what I've done to help me survive. But I was able to leave. But not everybody can leave, because sometimes the narcissist is your best friend. Sometimes it's your parent. Sometimes it's your child, you know, or a work colleague or something. It's not always just your spouse or your romantic partner. But, you know, it's kind of like years ago when my daughter and I were being physically abused. I should have called the cops. I never did. I was frozen until I decided to leave.
You were being physically abused, Joanne.
Yeah, my daughter more than me, but yeah, husband number 3 was very abusive. So,
ooh.
Yeah,
very hands on.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because I always feel compelled to say, well, he didn't beat us to a pulp, but it, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
one hit
that's enough.
One hit too many.
Right.
And you know, my daughter was a toddler at the time, I would have been in prison if I did that. But
that's true.
I should have called the cops, and I never did. And I should have.
Yeah, you should have, especially if that was going on. But yes, I understand. But Joanne, you know, for those that are looking in the outside and they don't know you at all, and they just hear something like 7 husbands, and they say, well, what's going on with Joanne? Is there an issue with her? Is she
probably the
problem?
Sorry.
So it's okay, but you recognize that perhaps you also were a contributing factor to your problematic history.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I'm not blaming anybody. And, you know, one thing my daughter pointed out, especially as I was writing the first book, is like, you know, Mom, you trusted that you would find love with the right person, and so you just kept trying. So yes, there is that, because I do believe that love is a wonderful thing.
I agree.
I didn't find the right person. And also, like,
happens
with the Mormon church, you're not supposed to fool around before you get married, and you're not supposed to live together before you get married. And so, you know, your hormones are raging.
Yeah.
And so you better get married. And the other thing is, you know, I grew up with an alcoholic parent and an alcoholic grandparent, and seeing my mom be codependent. So I just by osmosis became codependent. And, you know, I married, one of my husbands was, had substance abuse issues, and I'll go to the liquor store and buy you alcohol, even though I'm a Mormon and we don't do that. And, you know, and yes, I will let you invest that money that we're not supposed to invest that way because I believe you. And yeah, I'm stupid. And I don't believe I'm stupid now, but so yes, I had some issues, but I've been in therapy for, you know, this whole time I've lived in Oregon, and I've worked on myself. So I can honestly say I am a much better person, and I'm setting boundaries, and, you know, I'm trying to immerse myself in the silly online dating world. It's like, I could tell you some horror stories, but it's like, I know what I want, and I'm not afraid to say it, and I'm not afraid to set some boundaries. And if I, I had a psychic tell me, it's like, I go, what's my problem with all these dating? Because what sign are you? And I said, the Leo. He goes, well, you're intimidating them. And I go, well, I'm not trying to intimidate them. I just, you know, I've let the Leo out, and I'm more, not aggressive, but I'm more sure of what I want.
We're more forward. Basically.
Yes, I'm being more forward, and I'm being more transparent. And
I'm a Leo myself, by the way, so I understand.
Okay.
I get you.
Good. Okay. Well, I had a coffee, a tea date, you know, with this man the other day.
Yeah.
And it's like, I probably share with him some things he didn't want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Not about him.
You opened up a little too much.
Yeah, but he asked me questions, and so
okay.
You know, I
well,
just
we
have
invited
to be my honest self.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good. Well, thank you for being so transparent. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he asked for it.
He did.
So,
you know, it's
I mean,
well, how many times have you been married? Well, seven.
Well, yeah.
You know,
it's not like you're going to say, oh, well, I've never been married.
Yeah. It's like, well, not obvious that I have. Yeah, I can have kids without getting married. But yes,
true.
I have been married way more than I wanted to be. But, you know.
Hey, man, hey, that's life. For those that are listening,
it,
and they're
it
like,
"It is what it is."
They, you
and
know,
what can
you know,
I say?
Because you know, Joanne, people again, they're going to be like, "Well, married seven times. What's going on?" But I mean, marriage is tough. And again, everyone does deserve to be happy and have that special someone waiting for them at
right.
home, really, or wherever.
I agree.
So I understand. I understand completely. And dating is very difficult. I mean, having a partner in this life is pretty goddamn hard, Joanne.
I know. And I, you know, I look at my sister and her husband have been married over 50 years now. And yes, has it always been a bed of roses? No,
not at all.
Do most of us see that? No. But, you know, we see that they have made it the long haul, and they're still together, and they're still happy. And, you know, it's like, oh, this is good. You know, life could be like this. And if nothing else, you're teaching me how to enjoy retirement when I get there. Because, oh, look, I can relax. Well, this will be fun. But I mean, you know, it is possible. And like I was sharing with this guy I had tea with the other day, it's like,
yeah.
I don't really ever need to get married again. I don't need the piece of paper. You know, I'm no longer a Mormon. I just don't care. And I'm not having any more kids. You know, I don't care. And I don't need that. It's like, do I need to live in the same house with them? I don't know that I do, but I don't know. You know, it would be nice to have a partner.
Sure.
Somebody that really loves me and gets me, because I don't think I've ever really had that. So yeah, I'm still willing to look around, but on these dating apps, it's like, ooh.
What is
I found
that?
A lot of fake people.
Mm-hmm. Ah. I'm very curious what that's been like for you. So you met a number. Yeah, it's been horrible. Tell me the worst one. I got to hear it.
Okay, I've got a couple of them.
Oh, good. I love this.
One is, and I knew this guy was probably iffy because on his dating profile, very nice looking guy, lives over at the coast, but said he works for a cruise line. And, you know, okay, I know that there's no cruise terminal where he lives. So, but a lot of us work from home. So I suppose you could work from anywhere. It's like, okay, well that's interesting. So we started having some chats, and then, you know, you're always warned, don't get off the dating app until you're really ready to like have a phone call or a video call with this person. But, he wanted to get on like Facebook Messenger. So I said, okay. And, But as soon as we did, oh, I'm having trouble with my Facebook and they want to verify my identity. Can you be the person that does that? I go, absolutely not. Bye. And I immediately blocked him from my Facebook and blocked him like out of the dating app. And I might have reported him, but and then a couple days later, my friends were saying, did you send me this other Facebook friend request with like no picture? I go, absolutely not. And so that was one. And a lot of them are just not harmless, but definitely fake profiles. And it's like, I'm learning to, if you have too many travel pictures and they just look so posed, and you say you're from, there's a couple of places, there's a city, a really tiny town in the middle of Washington that a lot of these weirdos use, and one in Oregon. It's like, there can't be that many of you in these towns, because these towns are so tiny in the middle of nowhere in Oregon and Washington. And then there were a couple of guys who on their profile looked like these outstanding white businessmen. And I have nothing against people of color. Or sure. You know, I've been married to a couple of black men, and you know, I'm not a racist. But if you're going to be white on your profile and you're going to say that you've done this and this or lived these places and we're having these chats that make it sound like you know what you're talking about, oh, can we communicate off of here? And these two both said that. I was like, okay, that's interesting that you're using the same words. And then we get on a phone call and they're clearly black men's voices. And I'm not saying that because I'm a racist, because I'm not, but I've been married to a black man, so I know what a black man's voice sounds like.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, it sounds different than my voice. And then their phone numbers were from different states. I go, well, okay, I can get that because I'm from California, so I still have my California area code. But it's like, you've never told me you lived in Philadelphia, so don't have a Pennsylvania area code. And this one's never told me you lived in Montana, so don't have a Montana area code. And it was like one of them kind of didn't know the script from the dating app. So it's like I would ask him questions to test him, and he couldn't answer me properly. And the other one must have figured that out. And, you know, it could have been the same two guys, because this other guy, I said, you know, we're done. Well, what's the problem? I go, you didn't even know what your profile said.
Oh my.
And then the next guy who wanted to talk to me, and sounded very familiar to the other guy, but it's like he knew more of what the profile said. But I said, okay, you're not who you say you are. And so this is done, you know, we're done. And especially because one, you know, and I had changed into my night clothes. And so I was not going to get on a video call with this guy. And it's like, and he goes, well, do you want to do a video call? I go, no, you know, I've changed out of my work clothes. Oh, I don't mind. It's like, well, I do. And we're not going there. Well, you know, well, how long would it take you to go there? It's like, oh, no, no. Well, the first conversation, we're not talking about my pajamas.
Yeah, that's a little much. Yeah. Very strange.
Like, okay, this is inappropriate. So bye.
Yeah. It seems like some of these guys were obviously kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like this. Somebody has a full-time job out there putting out fake dating profiles. And I'm sure there are women that do the same thing, but it's like, if you tell me you're this and this and this, and you're from a foreign country, you know, this is how I'm spotting a lot of these things. And this one guy early on, he had some great travel pictures. And I go, oh, so where's this one from? Oh, it's in Milan, Italy. I'm thinking Milan is not on the ocean. And that looks like a key. You know, that looks like a breakwater type of, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like, sorry. It could be just a fountain in the middle of town, but I don't think so. You know, this is when my spidey sense, my intuition clicks in, thankfully.
Right.
And, you know, now it's just no.
You might need to switch dating apps, Joanne.
I'm on four.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. There's weirdos on all of them.
I would imagine, and, yeah. There's some very strange people there.
I've had three first in-person dates, and all three of them are not going anywhere. So,
oh no, you didn't like them that much.
Well, no, the first one, it kind of got boring after a while. And then I have inside cats, and he made it very clear that he doesn't do inside pets at all. So
oh,
it's like,
God.
Okay,
get rid of them.
No problem. And we just kind of mutually knew without saying, you know, no second date here. The next one, we had a lovely date. I thought we were making a connection, and, we made plans to see each other the next weekend. And then when the next weekend rolled around, I totally got ghosted. It's like, no response. No, I changed my mind. No, nothing. It's like, well, that sucks. And And then this guy I just had a tea date with over the weekend. You could just tell. It's like, well, the seven marriages and the one in prison, I think threw me under the bus, but because he didn't mind the woo, but you know, so you just know.
But the prison thing got to him.
I think so, and he's got teenage kids still living with him, and I go, yeah, I don't want to raise teenagers.
Oh no, you don't want to go down that road.
No, I've got grandkids your kids' age, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
So you know, it's just gonna take time, and
I mean, you eventually will find someone. I'm quite right. Sure. I mean,
and I'm not in a huge hurry, so it's okay.
That's right. You I know? Mean, but that was one positive thing about Mark, if I can say, if there was any positive thing, was, you know, you could find them right where you left them. I'm glad I made you laugh, Joanne. I wasn't sure if that was gonna bomb or not. I'm glad you laughed.
You're fine. Well, it's like and he's worked his way through like the optical, you know, to become a certified optician program at the prison. Not that he needs more job skills, but it looks good if you ever get to go to parole board. And the other trustee is going to be in California soon and is going to go meet with him to talk about, you know, things. And she goes, well, I got invited to his graduation. I go, oh, that's nice. I don't suppose I was invited. Because she goes, no.
Right.
I go, yeah, good, because I wouldn't go, obviously.
Yeah,
anyway.
I don't think you would actually want to go. But in terms of parole, will he be granted parole at any time? Can you imagine?
You know, I don't know. I mean, his sentence is life without parole.
That's what I mean. It's like, oh, well, I don't know.
But things have been changing in California. At least they were. So, if you can, there's two things. It's like you can apply to have your sentence commutated by the governor.
Yeah.
And then you would do, you know, then they would change it to like 25 to life and you could start having parole hearings. I think he's tried that. And I don't know if they just, you know, ignored it or never, you know, moved it up the ladder. But that hasn't happened. And then sometimes laws come up in front of the legislature that we had always hoped would apply to, you know, especially like if you're old and you've been in prison this long, you know, let's get you out of here. If you're old and you've got a lot of medical problems, let's get you out of here. They're passing that for people who, you know, might have 25 to life, but not yet for lifers. So even though a lot of lifers who are old and are never going to do anything again, they don't want to let out. And those are the most expensive inmates, you know, he's probably costing the state at least $100,000 a year.
Damn.
Yeah, because he's old. I mean, he's 70.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 70 and he's got some health issues and he's just, you know, it's cost a lot of money to have those old guys in prison.
I agree. I agree.
So, you know, it is what it is. I still am in touch with a few of our mutual friends that are there that I met because of him. Not a lot, but he and I saw him last time in person. It's been almost a year, April of last year. And then we had a couple of texts after that as we were negotiating the divorce and things like that. And, you know, so.
And for those.
But I don't talk to him at all.
You
now.
Don't talk to him at all. Okay. And Joanne, I got to ask you, what was, I hope you don't take offense to this, but what was appealing to you to actually, you know.
Be with him?
Yeah, be with him. You know, he's behind bars.
Well, again, by that time, I'd already been married six times. So I don't know where I'm going with that. So it's like, I met this really smart guy, Mark, and he is really smart and he's got fascinating stories and he knows so much about history as if he lived. He's probably had many past lives in all these different eras that he was talking to me about, but he just knows history so well that he can spout it as if he was there. So that was always fascinating. And he's been, you know, around the world with the military and, you know, largely with his family. They traveled or they were stationed. His dad was in the military, so they were stationed in many places. And then just learning about space and his brain power is amazing.
You were captivated. You were very captivated.
Yes, I was captivated.
I get it now.
And for a long time, it seemed fine. It just, you know, I got older and started looking at, I'm never going to be able to retire. And there's some of my needs
that
you
are
know,
not being fulfilled. Yeah.
Not being fulfilled. You know, it's like everything, it has to be his agenda first and then maybe mine. And it's like when I wrote my first book, You know, some letters when we were getting along, oh, you know, good for you for your book, you know, well done. It's like a nice little read. It's like, uh-huh. And then later I would say, you know, well, why didn't you support my book more? Well, because it wasn't good timing for me. And it kind of made me look like one of your other losers. I go, you got three chapters that treated you very nicely in that book. I mean, one of the chapters was just the logistics of being a prison wife and what that was like. But, you know, that's not always a bed of roses. So I just laid it out realistically. And I don't know if he didn't like that or not, but it's like you did not come off in that book as a loser. Yes, you were number seven. So that's on me. But, you know, I didn't make you out to be a loser in that book. And you weren't mean to me. Well, you weren't mean to me when I was writing that book. And there was only a couple times before that where he'd shown some anger, but he keeps it very controlled when he's in a public situation.
Understood. And I'm sure that will satisfy those curious. And I heard a meow in the background, I think.
He woke up.
He woke up.
Yeah, it's okay, baby. It's okay. His sister's now asleep. He's awake.
Is he
it's
next
like,
to
Mom,
you?
I'm awake.
Do you have a feline next to you at all?
No, sister is on the floor and he is like at my feet. He's telling me, hello, I'm awake and you probably should feed me.
You could grab him and let him say hi to us here.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you
want
to come up here?
Yeah. Like,
here.
We need to see this cat.
Okay. Hang on.
Uh-oh. She's reaching down and going to show us the beautiful feline in a moment here, ladies and gentlemen, a world's first here on this program. And there he is.
Winston, it's Winston.
Winston, look at that guy.
Hey, hello.
It's a nice tuxedo cat there. I love that.
Yes, and his sister is a tortoise. So, you know, they're twins, but they don't look at all alike.
Very cool. Well, I do appreciate you sharing.
Yeah, he doesn't like to be held, but, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, some cats, you know, they don't like that. But Joanne, you know, I'm glad you are opening up here and telling us about your story, your trials and tribulations, rather.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's like it's not like I'm trying to turn people against Mark. I'm trying to bring light to the problem of people being narcissists and trying to deal with that in their lives. And I don't know how he found out that I was writing a book about him, because I certainly didn't tell him. And all the names are changed, except now we're on air talking about
whatever. I wonder how he found out.
I don't know, but I don't know because... But it's interesting because he told the other trustee, she's writing a scathing book about me. I said, well, yes, it is scathing, but the truth hurts. So a lot of times there were staff people that seemed to monitor my public speaking. So they could have heard about it. You know, they might have listened to a podcast. I know Carrie Cassidy found out about it, and she's, you know, had mentioned that it wasn't going to be a very nice book about him. So I don't remember telling her either. But, you know, it doesn't matter. And am I going to send him a copy? No.
Carrie's a very strange woman, by the way.
She and I got along and we hardly talk either. So
my interactions with her haven't been quite pleasant. So I'm kind of like, well, I don't know what's going on with her, but that's a whole other issue.
You know, but she and I disagree on certain political things. So we'll just leave it at that.
Oh, I hear you. Yes, people can believe whatever they want about anything,
right?
But yeah, we'll just leave that there. But anywho, Joanne, again, I'm glad you are making this book. I find it quite interesting. I would definitely love to read it once you have that out there. Book number the second one coming out.
The first one is called Midlife Magic, and it's by Joanne Richards. The second one, which should be out in, I think the ebook will be out in June, and the paperback will be out in July, and I'm working with a publisher. And it's called The Prince Was Wrong, Leaving the Narcissist Behind, because Mark's nickname is The Prince.
Oh, The Prince, right. That's right, that's right. I remember now, yes, The Prince. You know, Joanne, I refuse to call any grown man prince, king, and women too, goddess, queen.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to ever say that about anyone.
No, it's
that's
okay.
Crazy.
And I'm not sure, you know, in his German heritage, his line way back when, they were a German princedom. Mm. The family were German princes. And yeah. So you know, maybe that's why it's either that or it's because he thinks he's above everybody else. But, you know, whatever. But the book is called The Prince Was Wrong, Leaving the Narcissist Behind, and it will be by Joanne Fawcett. I was going to do a pen name. I had one all picked out. And then, you know, people empowered me to say, just use your name. It's like, Okay.
I like Joanne Fawcett.
Thank you. I do, too.
There's a great ring to it. Yeah, I dig it. I think it's really cool. And, you know, I'm looking very forward to the book.
Yeah, and I have definitely read it. If I can plug it, I have a new website's being built, joannefawcett.com. And it's not quite done yet, but people could go on there and at least sign up for the email list if they want. That part's ready.
Nice. And Joanne, just for the record, you know, I've been accused of being a narcissist myself.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that a time or two. only by women that are very angry with me, though.
I see. Well, you know, and there's, and again, I think... there's like what do you want to call it? There's actually a syndrome of, you know, and you can actually be diagnosed as being a narcissist. Sometimes people just use the term loosely for somebody who's very selfish. And I don't know you well enough. I would never call you that because I don't know you.
I wouldn't call myself that either. I think that is insane, to be honest with you.
But I think it's a very loose term that a lot of people use for somebody who's selfish.
I would have to imagine when I was called these things, it was just a projection of the other party, to be honest with you, because I am not a narcissist at all.
I was going to say, I've talked to you a few times now and you're not.
So. No.
And, but I didn't know the term either until I saw a sign for the person who, you know, like a sandwich board sign for the person who was going to become my therapist.
Right.
And she specializes in that. It's like, oh, that's what this is called.
That's right. But here's the thing. I have learned though from... everyone's take on me, I've learned that I do need improvement, and that's all I can do, really. And I've been trying to live my life that way, one day at a time, improve myself and others around me as much as I can.
You know, that's all we can do. We can only work on ourselves.
Right.
And the more you work on yourself and create the best life for you, you know, you're going to attract like people, hopefully. Because I think I'm in a much better place than I've ever been before.
I think you are too, by the way.
Thank you. That's the kind of person I want to attract. I want to attract somebody who's on the same spiritual plane as me and somebody who doesn't see me as a weirdo, you know, and is okay with me writing various books and, you know, just, and I'm super in tune with nature. You know, I'm a witch and I'm a tree hugger. I love walking and talking to the birds and the trees and the flowers and everything that's out there. And, you know, I need somebody in my life who is either the same way or who totally gets it and appreciate that about me, because we're going to get along so much better.
That's right. You need a survivalist type of man, I would imagine. You need someone that's in there.
I do.
That's who we need to get you hooked up with, Joanne, in my opinion. Yeah.
I finally, because I get so tired of these dating apps, and I finally said, I was talking to a woman, a colleague, and she's like, you know, do you want me to post your dating app on my Facebook to my friends and stuff? And I go, oh, I don't know. And she goes, and then I said, well, as a joke, but not a joke, it's like, well, I'm going to elaborate on my, add stuff to my dating profile, because I was not putting how much woo I do on the dating profile, and I didn't put, you know, that I'd been married a million times and this and that. And it's like, she goes, just put it all in there. So I added all this stuff and actually posted it to my Facebook friends. Said, hey, who wants to play matchmaker? You know, so nobody's come forward with anybody yet. But again, I'm in no hurry and I've got this book to finish. So
yeah, don't rush yourself.
It's called Divine Right Timing. That's the right words. Mm-hmm. So it'll happen when it's supposed to happen, and I will be patient.
Yes, just be patient and the right guy will come along. But again, you definitely want to hang out with a lot of survivalist people that go on trails and hiking. You need someone that's totally down with the outdoors. Someone that's also a hippie.
I agree.
Oh yeah, and you know what you want and what you need.
So I do.
You don't need me to tell you that.
I do.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for recognizing that.
Oh yeah, and Joanna, in terms of the whole UFO and alien thing, or UAP thing now, as they like to call it. I hate that term UAP. By the way, I like saying UFO or flying saucer. I love that.
I'm still calling them UFOs.
I'm with you though. Yeah.
I'm old school. That's what I know.
Me
I've
too.
Had my own UFO sightings. You
That's
know,
right.
That kind of stuff.
And yeah. I need to scratch your head here a little bit here and
sure.
ask you what your thoughts and opinions are with all this hoopla that's been going on in terms of UAPs now and the government being so involved. And even though they've always been involved, you know, we're getting all this sort of like, I guess, light disclosure of sorts. And I'm curious what you think of all this.
Well, it's funny because, again, the grassroots people, we've been working on disclosure for years. So it's nothing new to us. And I loved, it was like maybe the year before COVID shut everything down, I was speaking at a conference in Nevada. And that's when those cool Navy guys first started, you know, they were starting to come out and speak publicly about that TikTok incident.
Right.
And so I got to meet them and they were so wonderful. And so yeah, the government is slowly starting to admit a few things, but it's like they've always known this was happening and they just haven't been allowed to really talk about it. So they haven't really disclosed anything that most of us, you know, a lot of us didn't already know. So it's just, I kind of, did I listen to any congressional hearings? No. Because they're not, what are they saying that's new? They're not saying anything that's new.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. None of it is new. We've all heard
no.
these stories that they're regurgitating.
And again, the other good thing about being married to Mark is like I was kind of in the inside loop because he still has connections. So I was hearing about current stuff that was happening. And it's like, yeah, this is cool. And this is good. And getting the military, you know, a lot of the things I was speaking on was older events, but it was still from the military perspective. So I kind of felt like I not knew more than everybody else, but I felt like I was on kind of a different inside
yeah.
track than some of the other speakers. So, but I'm not now. So I, you know, out of the loop.
The outsider.
But so, you know, I kind of go along and I listen to what people are saying, but again, to me, it's nothing new. So.
You're not impressed. In other words,
I'm not impressed.
Yeah.
No.
No, I agree with you. I'm not exactly impressed by any of it. It's been a bit of a headache for those that have been following along. For, you know, anyone who's been into ufology as long as both of us probably have, it does get kind of frustrating to see all this back and forth. The government is going to do this and that, and then
right.
they don't do this or that, and it's more suppression that's going on. I really don't know what the end game is.
Well, and, you know, the interesting thing with COVID, because that wasn't totally just a random virus thing that happened, and it was manipulated. But the other thing is that slowed down disclosure because we had many alien allies who wanted to start pushing forward in a good way disclosure and wanted to be more open. And then they were affected by COVID as much as we were. And a lot of them have to leave the planet. But, you know, I've always said, I just want us to all get along. And I've always wanted, especially after I saw this property in England, it's like, I want a big house. I want a big field where their ships can land. I want a vortex where they can pop in.
Yeah.
I want to be able to have tea and just sit around and talk like we're old friends. And I still want that. And I still think it's possible. And again, especially during COVID and with all these wars that keep popping up and stuff, it's like, our alien allies who want to help us, you know, they want to help us, but not have to come in crashing and in a very dramatic, awful way to help save us, you know, from the negative aliens who might be working with that government. You know, they would have to come in and very dramatically show themselves if they were trying to help us.
Yeah.
And that's not the way they want to do it. They would like to do it on more friendly terms, like, you know, show up at the White House and say, hey, how are you? So, you know, COVID put a wrench in
all that.
In disclosure on both sides. So that's a bad thing.
So it's interesting you say that because some people in the Pentagon, some Pentagon insiders, some of the whistleblower folks, they're saying that there are multiple factions of aliens, some that work with the government, some that don't, mm-hmm. some that are more mm-hmm. controlling than others. I'm just wondering, you know, we all want to do the right thing. We all want the best right. for us, all of us here globally. We would love everyone to be on an even playing field. We would love everyone to be prosperous and have nice things in life. Yet there's a group of people out there that don't want that for humanity. And
right.
And there's aliens who don't want that for humanity. And
right.
I'm just wondering, have we lost completely already? Is there any hope in any of this shit, Joanne? Sorry for using that
oh,
language.
Oh, no.
I'm just trying to be realistic here.
I hope we haven't lost. And again, that's the one downside to not talking to Mark, because I don't know. you know, I talked a lot about the raptors when I was speaking over
oh, yeah.
the years.
The raptors.
Because they still work with the especially the U.S. and, you know, other human militaries that are our allies to help us and to help protect us and help us fight our enemies. And on the other side of that, there's other alien species who work with the enemy governments and you know, want to, you know, make us slaves or want to take over and don't want good things for us. The raptors, I still believe that they want good things for us, and they want to work with us, and they feel that that's still a positive road for them to follow. So I can't. And again, you know, the sad thing is if we allow, you know, if we're in such a bad state that our enemies, you know, there's no hope for us, then to protect the planet, the raptors would have the ability to just like gas us all. You know, if we're about to destroy the planet just so that one side, you know, doesn't win, then it might be time for the raptors to come in and, you know, wipe us all out. But because their concern is the planet, not necessarily us. You know, they're willing to work with certain humans, but they're not willing to lose the planet.
Yes. And also you were hearing, well, not you directly, but all of us were hearing Pentagon insiders also saying that some of these things are not ET, they're demonic. They're demons of sorts. What's your take on these comments now?
I you know, people have said that years ago when I was doing talks. It's
yeah.
like, oh, you're talking about reptilian. They're all demonic. I, you know, alien. No, you've got hundreds of species of aliens. Some are very friendly. Some want to work with us. Some want to help us. Others not so friendly. Others don't want good things for us. So it's just like humans. You've got good ones and bad ones. And for me, it's not a matter of demonic or angelic. You know, religion doesn't play a part of it. You've got some alien species that are so, and you have to realize that they're all older than us. Their civilizations are all older than us. But, you know, some are very spiritual, and I've learned a lot from them. And, you know, one of my spirit guides is a raptor sorceress. So, you know, I highly respect them. So it's like it's not a matter of being demonic. Yeah, some of them are very negative and want to destroy us, but I don't let the whole religious side come in, and it's not a matter of Christianity or religion to me at all.
It seems like a lot of stuff that's in the Bible, a lot of stuff that was written down, it almost is extraterrestrial.
A lot of it is. Yeah. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. there are certain hints in there, you know, and there's certain hints. It's like, oh yeah, that is a UAP. They're
yeah.
talking about a spacecraft, and yeah, that's in there. And you look at those,
like Ezekiel's wheel Ezekiel's wheel is another great example of it.
Yes, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. So it's just like, again, and I'm no longer Christian, so I don't mind
talking about
saying
it.
That a lot of that is hooey. So.
That's okay.
It's just it's stories. It's their way to explain things.
Right.
And I love, you know, you see cave art, and it's like clearly people in spacesuits, and you look at like medieval or Renaissance era paintings, and
yeah.
clearly there's a spaceship right up there, and
it's in there.
It's like, so if that painter from the Middle Ages didn't see it, why would it know to paint it?
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
And it's like, why would these ancient people carve this being, like this cat looking like a very tall cat standing upright, if it hadn't seen the alien creature that looks just like it?
That's right.
Because its house cat would not have done that.
Right, right. It'd be eating everything, really. But Joanne, I'm glad to know that everything is looking good for you so far. I mean, you have all your work ahead of you, plenty of things to look forward to. I'm sure you'll be doing more conferences soon about all these experiences you've had. And
I do, and mm-hmm. I'm going not in two directions because it's all connected for me. I want to help people because I'm. You know, the other thing is you want your life to be, you know, not subservient, but to serve others instead of just serving yourself. So yeah. My life has always been based on service. I just need to do it in a positive way so that I'm not feeling like a doormat. So I want to help others still learn about aliens, especially the good stuff and our connection. And I want to help others, you know, with toxic relationships, because then they'll be more in tune to talk about aliens.
All right. Joanna, I'd love asking this question to all of my guests when they appear on this program, and I just want to ask you this one as well. Joanne, do you consider yourself a good person?
Yes, I do. I think I'm a very good person.
You know, I'm not going to say I'm a good person or a bad person. I think I'm still trying to learn and improve myself in every facet imaginable, and I think I'm trying to get there, and I think I'm almost there. I've been improving myself.
It's a process. Yeah. You know, it's not going to, it's not, you don't just suddenly arrive. It's still a process. I still have things to work on. And, you know, it's like, again, when people ask me, are you a good witch or a bad witch? I go, well, I don't do black magic. Never do. But do I have an occasional thought that I want something to happen to that person? Sure.
Sure, yeah.
But that doesn't mean I dwell on it. And I'm certainly not going to do a spell to make anything happen bad to them. So
very, very nice. I'm glad to know that you don't have any voodoo dolls of any of your ex-husbands there.
That's not me. No.
You're like, so maybe a couple years ago.
I'm more about protection and good things happening in people's lives.
I'm glad that you feel that way, Joanne, because I'm sure it would have been very easy for you to turn and then maybe bring out the voodoo dolls.
It's a fine line. And sometimes people practice both sides. I just choose not to.
I hear you. I mean, you're always going to be the bad guy in someone's story, no matter if you were good. We're all the antagonist in someone's story. That's what I've learned in life. You know, I'm always going to be the bad person in someone's life. I'll always be looked at like a lesser subhuman, rather.
Yeah, yeah. And if you listen to the journalist that used to harass us, I'm a horrible person. And
you're a terrible woman.
I'm a terrible woman, and I'm a black widow, and I married all these people for their veterans' benefits, and it's like blah, 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 because I never got any except for the one that I did, and because he died.
Yeah.
You know.
That's understandable.
You know. And I had his kid, so we deserved the money.
But, I mean, it's a good trade-off.
Yeah. But again, I'm on a trajectory for good things and helping other people and being a good example and all that good stuff.
Very nice.
I'm trying,
Joanne, I could easily talk to you even longer here. I feel like I talk to a lot of people even longer. But Joanne, I mean, I want to respect your time. And if there's anything else you have not got a chance to mention or talk about here, I would love for you to just spill it out right now.
No, I would just say, thanks for listening. And everybody have an open mind and know that it's never too late to change or improve your life, especially if you sense something's not going well for you. And if you feel so inclined, sign up for my email list. If you think you might want to be a beta reader for the new book, great. You know, it'll be out in early summer, so please watch for it. And I'm, if you Google my name, I'm on a lot of podcasts if you want to hear more about toxic relationships in general. So and if you want to talk about aliens, I'm on those too. So just if you have any questions, you just contact me.
Yes, a variety of topics are open for discussion with Joanne if anybody wants that. But yeah, another piece of advice I would give to anyone out there listening is if you are in a relationship that you don't really like, it's a little rocky, get out. Don't just stay there.
Right.
That's
especially if you're in harm's way.
Right. Absolutely.
Get out. Sooner than later.
Absolutely. And everyone can find your books over at Amazon.com or on your website, I imagine.
The first book is everywhere, and the website for that is dragonhillbooks.net. My new book will be on Amazon and all that good stuff, and my website for that is joannefawcett.com.
Very nice. Once again, Joanne, I really appreciate you being here and sharing all this with us, and we'll definitely have to bring you back on here again. Maybe even do it live. Yeah, we'll do it live next time.
Oh, that'd be fun. We could answer questions.
Yeah, there we go. Oh,
that'd
yes.
That'd be great.
Absolutely. Good. Once again, thank you, Joanne, for being a part of the program. I will see you on the other side.
Thank you.